Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Clear for Takeoff with Joe Montone, your host, here at Holy Spirit Radio. Again, my friends, my name is Joe Montone. It's great to be here. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Before we begin today, I want to take a moment to just thank Dale and Jane Meyer for their tremendous support of our listening audience and for all the years that they have spent building up Holy Spirit Radio at both WISP and WCOJ, my friends. And we just celebrated an anniversary on the feast day of St. Joseph's Day. So from 1999 till 2022, the Meyer family has been really dedicated to providing the message of the gospel through the radio waves here at Holy Spirit Radio. And for that, we are very grateful, my friends. And we are blessed to be here as a host and using this radio station as a platform to deliver the love of God and also the great message of the gospel. And today, as we get into our readings coming up for this weekend, we are going to start off with our checklist, as we always do, my friends. Number one, do you have time for God this morning? Check. Is your heart open for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to the four questions, my friends, then we are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading this morning from the book of Samuel, chapter 16, verses 1, 6, and 7, and 10 through 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons." As Jesse and his sons came to the sacrifice, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have already rejected him. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart of a man." In the same way, Jesse presented seven sons before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any one of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest, who is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here." Jesse sent and had the young man brought to them. He was ruddy, a youth handsome to behold and making a splendid appearance. And the Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And from the book of Samuel today, my friends, we get a tremendous message about judging other people. Because the Lord says here, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have already rejected him. Not as man sees, as God see, because man looks as the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart of a man. And this is very powerful, and it's something that we have to speak about objectively. How do you and I, my friends, judge other people? Are we looking at one's appearance? Absolutely. As people are walking through supermarkets, they're walking through shopping malls, walking through corridors and schools, walking through the church, we are looking at them because we have the gift of eyesight. Without the gift of sight, we would be unable to judge them by their appearance. But we have to be careful not to judge by appearance, because the Lord says, you know, do not judge from his appearance. So we have to refrain from doing that. And the word goes on to talk about how does God see? And God looks into the heart of a man. And this is what we have to do. You and I, my friends, have to look more at the quality, the integrity of the heart within a person. What are they bringing to the table? Are they bringing love? Are they bringing compassion, patience, understanding? Are they bringing, once again, the love of God to other people through the Word of God? Are they touching your heart? Are the feelings coming from one heart to another? And when we judge by appearance only, or by the lofty stature, he's the CEO of a large corporation. He has his own business. He's very wealthy, very affluent, very connected. But the God that we know, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants none of that to be used. He's calling us to look at the heart of a person. And this is what we have to do, my friends, because what God says to do and not to do is paramount in our lives. We have to get it right this time. And starting today, my friends, let's refrain from judging other people by appearance or their lofty stature, what kind of house they live in, what development they live in, what kind of car they drive, what kind of clothes they wear. None of that is important to our Lord. The Lord is looking for a heart of integrity, a heart full of love. And you and I, my friends, if we have room for improvement in this area, we must do it today. Let's go to our second reading. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them. For it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Once again, my friends, through the mouth of St. Paul, the great words in the book of Ephesians talk about you and I, that we were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. If we have that relationship with Jesus Christ, if we allowed our Lord to break in and come into us and to submit to him, where he's number one and we're number two, if we allow the Lord, if we're open to what the Lord says to do and not to do, open to obtaining, acquiring the love of God, it can change our lives. We can go from darkness to light. It's like the sunrise in the morning that takes over the globe, over the world, and it's powerful. When you're flying in an airplane into Europe through the middle of the night, the sunrise in the east coming up just envelops the entire globe, and it's powerful. You can see the curvature of the earth up at 43,000 feet. But you and I, my friends, were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Do you remember those days of darkness? And what are the characteristics of being darkness? What are those characteristics? Did you lack the ability to love other people? Were you hostile? Was there jealousy, envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, prejudice, or the superego? Any of those in darkness? Did you reject the Word of God? Did you get offended by someone giving a blessing at the family meal? You and I, my friends, were once in darkness. Were we living in sin? Unmarried, together with another person, living in sin? Were we involved in illegal activity, immoral activity, pornography, drugs, alcohol? What was your darkness like, my friends? Because now you are light in the Lord. And we can learn from the past. We have an obligation to teach others and help them to avoid darkness whenever we can. Our vocabulary itself is very important. While in darkness, did we use the wrong vocabulary to offend other people? Do we use those words that we know that we don't want our children to use in our homes, in our schools, in our churches, anywhere with their family or friends? Now we are light in the Lord. And the Lord's word says in the book of Ephesians, once again through the powerful words of St. Paul, he tells us to live as children of light. For light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. And that's where we want to be. We want to be living in goodness and righteousness and with the truth, not deceitful or living a lie. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. My friends, what pleases our Lord Jesus Christ? What pleases God? What things do you and I do every day to please God? Because St. Paul is telling us to try. Try our best. Not half-hearted, but to try our best to please our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. Do you think the Lord would be pleased if we were loving one another? The second greatest commandment. Would he be pleased if we treated others as we would like to be treated, practiced the golden rule? Would he be pleased if we honored our mothers and fathers? Would he be pleased if we kept holy the Sabbath day and attended church with reverence and deep respect for the church itself, for the altar, the Eucharist, for our celebrant, our priest, our deacons? Is there room for improvement? Can we raise the standard, my friends, and try to do what pleases the Lord every day? And the Lord's word goes on to say, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. My friends, are you awake or are you sleeping? This is your wake-up call right here at Holy Spirit Radio. It's time to wake up and to pay attention. God is calling you and I to the right way of living. He's calling us to become activists in doing what is pleasing to the Lord. In other areas, St. Paul tells us, husbands, care for your wife as you care for your own body. Are we taking care of our wives? Or are we neglecting them, abusing them, verbally, mentally, physically, sexually, financially? Are we taking care of our husbands? Or are we doing the same, neglecting them, or abusing them? Or to our children? God's calling us to a higher standard, my friends. Again, are you awake? Is this clear? Or are we asleep and it's not important? I don't even understand it. Because when we're asleep, the Lord's word doesn't jump off the page. The book is not even open. It's not reality. It's just something that we hear week in and week out in church, if we attend the church, if we get there on time, if we're clear-minded, distraction-free, if we reinforce it by reading the actual readings prior to coming into the church. Or is it not important, my friends? The Word of God. The Lord tells us to awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The light of Christ is what we need, the lamp within us. We need to shine brightly. Or is your light dull? Is it burned out because you're not reinforcing your relationship with God through prayer? You're not reaching out. You have no time for God. We have time for school and time for work and time for sports and hobbies and community service. But do we have personal time for our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven? Are we praying sincerely from the heart? God calls us to wake up. And this, my friends, is our wake-up call here at Holy Spirit Radio. Let's go to our gospel reading. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went there and washed and was able to see. And they said to him, here is he. He said, I don't know. They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see. So some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a sinful man do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, what do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained the sight, until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see? His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He can speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews were already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, he is of age, question him. So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He replied, if he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? They ridiculed him and said, you are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from. The man answered and said to them, this is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. They answered and said to him, you were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us. Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered and said, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, I do believe, Lord, and he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, surely we are not also blind, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, we see, so your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a powerful gospel, my friends, about the man born blind. Who sinned? The people asked. Who sinned, Lord? This man or his parents that he was born blind? And the Lord made it clear that neither he or his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. And this is the most important thing, that we give God all the praise, honor, and glory, my friends. And the Lord shows us this miracle of a blind man able to see. The great gift of eyesight, one of the great senses that we have. And unfortunately, even with the gift of eyesight, people are vulnerable to prejudice and pride and egotistical attitudes. God calls us to put it all away. He wants us to be seeing clearly, without prejudice and pride and egoism. Many years ago, we were in Marconi Park in Philadelphia after the Columbus Day Parade and had carried the statue of our Blessed Mother Mary and St. Joseph into the park to bring the message of family life into the city of Philadelphia, to touch the hearts and minds of our people, where we have a high rate of out-of-wedlock births and a high rate of abortion and tremendous issues of poverty and racism. To bring the love of God through the Holy Family was the message. And God calls us to do certain things as we have the light of Christ within us. And a blind man came up to the statue of our Blessed Mother and started to speak. And he touched me. And I asked him, how long have you been blind? And he said, for many years, I was actually born blind. And I said to him, I used to be spiritually blind, but God opened my eyes so that I can see clearly. And it was a powerful moment to see the difference between physical blindness and spiritual blindness. And today, my friends, many people are spiritually blind. We need to open the eyes of the people, open the eyes of our own selves, our own children, so that we can see life clearly as God sees it, and put value on eternal life versus earthly things. And Jesus said this, I came into the world for judgment so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. This is important, my friends, that with God, all good things are possible. And today we pray through the intercession of Saint Joseph and our Blessed Mother Mary that you and I, my friends, will raise the standard and become spiritually awakened, and to touch the hearts and minds of everyone we come in contact with today. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, that's our show for today. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My name is Joe Montone, your host. Once again, we thank you for tuning in with us here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. Have a great day, and God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.